Thank you, Larry, for leading us today. Man, I just, the third verse of that song, Larry, is one of my favorite verses that's ever been written. Those words, "My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, oh my soul." I hope those words sank into your soul today. We are glad you're here. We have a couple of very, very new and special folks with us today. So today is the first day that Chris and Lauren Mallard are back here with us with their little one, Cora, who has suddenly disappeared. But she's been taken out right now. She won't remember this announcement anyway. But we're happy about that. We're glad to see them. And that little baby is just beautiful, beautiful. And then also, Shane and Jennifer Street have their new little one they've got with them right now, Elle, with them today. And this is their first time to have that baby here, I think. And we're glad that they are here as well. Babies all over. What a great, great day. What a great place. We are glad that you're here. And we hope that this day is meaningful to you as we are involved in this series of lessons that we've styled Hidden Messages. Hidden Messages. And we're looking, and we'll talk about this in a few minutes, at some hidden messages in the Word of God. So I want to start with a question. How many of you know what that is? How many of you know what that is? How many of you know, I've got it right here in my hand, how many of you know what that is? If you think you know what it is, and you didn't know the sermon in advance, raise your hand. If you think you know what it is, and give you a little better look at it. What about now? Can you tell what it is now? Anybody? Anybody got it figured out? How about if I showed you 50 of them? There's 50 of that thing right there, 50 of them. How about now? Does that help you out any? Figure out with 50 of them, how many of you think you know what it is? Do you think you know what? Oh, I've got a few people now that think they know what it might be. How about if I showed you, let's jump forward here, 250 of them. If I can do that. There's 250 of them right there. You got it figured out now? Some of you already figured out. It is, in fact, a seed. In fact, it is not only a seed, it is a mustard seed. And when I started putting this lesson together, I thought, you know, it'd be neat to do a couple of things with mustard seeds today. And so I went to the store to find mustard seeds. Had to go to four different places before I found mustard seeds. And I finally found my mustard seeds. And there they are. There is a pack of mustard seeds. And I want to tell you this right now. They're smaller than they look. In fact, I needed 1,000 of them to do what I wanted to do today. I needed 1,000 to do what I wanted to do today. And so here is my bottle of mustard seeds right here, right there. So, how many of you think there are 1,000 in there? How many of you think there are 1,000 in there? I didn't know how to do it. I didn't know how do you. So I read the label. I actually went online and tried to find out how many were in there. And so I thought, well, I don't know. There may not be 1,000 in there. So I bought 2 bottles. And so I got home and spent quite a bit of time counting out mustard seeds, 50 in a bag, 100 in a bag, 250 in a bag. I started counting out mustard seeds. And when I finished, I thought, well, I wonder how many there are. And so I thought, how many mustard seeds are there in 1 ounce of mustard seeds? And this is a 3-ounce bottle. How many mustard seeds do you think are in those 2 3-ounce bottles? Anybody want to venture a guess? You can say it out loud. Anybody want to venture a guess? What? 4,000. That's a lot, isn't it? 4,000. Anybody else? You ready? There are 105,000 mustard seeds. I've never bought a mustard seed in my life. I now have 105,000. If you happen to have any need for mustard seeds, see me after services. I think I'm going to start a mustard seed farm. A mustard seed tree farm. That would work better, wouldn't it? So, why mustard seeds hit the sermon trail today? Why are we going to talk about mustard seeds? Well, the primary purpose behind this series of lessons on Hidden Messages are to look at some of the parables that Jesus spoke, that Luke records, that are actually hidden messages of themselves, that he wrote in his Good News account. Because the parables were just that. They were designed to be hidden messages. And you may not know this, but the mustard seed in and of itself is sort of a hidden message. There is a mustard seed tree. There is a mustard seed tree. These things grow huge. They're ginormous, I guess you could say. And the obvious lesson is, how in the world do you go from this over on the right side of the screen to this? I mean, how is it that one of the smallest seeds you will see grows to be this great big thing? How is it that it begins so small and yet grows to be so impressive? But if it is the obvious message, it is not a hidden message. So Jesus himself actually talked about mustard seeds on two accounts that we know about because they're recorded for us. The first one is the more famous of them in Matthew chapter 20 and verse 17, where he said, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you. The other one is in Luke chapter 13, where Jesus is speaking and he says, what is the kingdom of God like? To what shall I compare it? It is like a mustard seed which a man took and planted in a garden, in his garden, and it grew and it became a tree and the birds perched in its branches. Remember the theme verse for this series. It's over in Luke chapter 8, verses 9 and 10. His disciples ask him what the parables meant. And he said, to you it's been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of God, but to others they're in parables, so that, look at it, seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. So the question is, what is there here in the hearing of this parable that they would not have heard, and the seeing of this parable that they would not have seen? And so today I'm going to give you very quickly four hidden messages from the mustard seed teachings. Four hidden messages from the mustard seed teaching. If you've got an outline, you can follow along, but you can follow along even if you don't have one. Number one, the mustard seed teaches us that God does what only God could do. That is exactly what happens. And that is exactly what the kingdom of God is like. That is what the gospel itself is. It is God doing what only God could do. In the first century, it was God taking a man or a woman that was full of sin and that was a participant in the crucifixion of Christ and redeeming them of their sins. Today, it is the exact same thing. And the good news is that it does not matter. The surprising news is, not surprising to us, but it should be shocking to the world, and it should be our primary message to everyone around us, that God can take the worst of lives and turn it to the best of lives through the power of His Son. That God can take the worst that you've done and forgive it and wipe the slate clean. That God can allow every person alive today to live anew and to have a new start and a new opportunity. The gospel, a few words, often spoken without sophistication and training. You don't have to have any training to share the gospel. You don't have to have good grammar to share the gospel. You don't have to have good voice quality or control to share the gospel. A man tells a friend how God set him free from addiction. A person who seemingly has their life in order shares how before they knew of Christ, their life was a mess. A woman shares how God spared her life from sin. A sermon about the prodigal son. An illustration from an empty tomb. And suddenly a man understands, or a woman begins to see, and they open a Bible that maybe spent years gathering dust on a shelf, and they begin to understand God's great love for them. And with time, they give their life over to Christ. And then they, in turn, begin to share that transformation of their life with other people. And the gospel is spread from generation to generation to generation, and is effective, and it changes people's hearts, and it touches their minds, and it moves them to be different people, and it beautifies their life, and everything changes. The good news that God visited earth and loves people so much that a God, the God, did what was unimaginable, what no one would ever have seen coming. He gave his life for them. Paul said it in 1 Thessalonians, or 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 7. For neither is he who plants anything, or he who waters anything, but God who gives the increase. And here's the thing. James, the half-brother of Christ, says the farmer works, and the farmer weeds, and the farmer waters. But most of all, James would tell us, the farmer waits. And yes, we do our part. But God does what only God could do. God gives the increase. God changes the heart. God touches the life. God does what we could never do. I cannot grow a tree out of a seed. You see, the fact is that God put it within the seed itself to grow. God imparted life to seeds. That's what Genesis chapter 1 and verse 11 says. Then God said, let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees on the earth bearing fruit after their kind with the seed in them. Only God could have thought of taking an itty-bitty seed or even a big seed and growing something large out of it. It is a miracle of birth. And when a person accepts the gospel, it is a miracle of rebirth. Karen Jensen wrote, can anyone count the seeds in an apple? Or anyone can count the seeds in an apple, but only God can count the number of apples in a seed. And the lesson, if you're following along the outline, is that we do what we're supposed to do, and we let God do what only He can do. We do what we can do, but let God do what only God can do. But there's something else. There's a second hidden message in this parable. Watch what he says. It grows into a tree so that the birds come and build their nest in it, lodge in it. And the fact is, the kingdom is for all. This is about tree providing lodging for all. The tree is big enough for everyone. And there are all kinds of birds that come from all kinds of places, but they all become a part of that tree. And the kingdom of God is enormous. It's an enormous plant, large enough to handle anyone. Birds are not in it. It is people that are in it. And God's tree is large enough to hold all. It's important for us to recognize that Jesus in that day was not just talking to the Israelites. He was talking to everyone, to the Jews and to the Gentiles, to the pagans and to the heathen, to the barbaric, to anyone who comes to Christ and obeys His gospel that Jesus died on the cross and rose again 3 days later to conquer death forever for everyone. I want us today to acknowledge how challenging it is for us to see people as souls. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, because you'd all have to raise your hand, I imagine. I'm not judging you in this. I'm this way too. For all of us, there are situations, and those situations often bear the faces of people where we end up prejudging people. We end up pre-qualifying people. We treat them like they're applying for a loan, and that we're the loan officers, and that yes, you've been pre-qualified. It looks like you're someone who might accept the gospel. This person is stamped ready to obey the gospel, and that person surely couldn't be. I want to tell you today, the gospel is for all. And as we face a political season, as we face ongoing conflict in our culture over every issue that seems to come down the pike today, and it is so very easy to draw lines and to take sides. As we face that today, put this in your mind. Remember this. The gospel is for all. Can you say it with me? The gospel is for all. Now, I want you to do something. I want you to put in your mind that talking head that when they come on the screen, you immediately, your blood pressure goes up 10 points. I want you to put in mind that person that you work with that you're in constant conflict with. I want you to put in your mind that person in the neighborhood that is constantly causing conflict. I want you to put in your mind that person in your family that is so very difficult for you to get along with. And then I want you to repeat with me again. The gospel is for all. It is for that person as much as it was for you. And you deserve the gospel no more than that person deserved the gospel. And if we believe the gospel, we believe that gospel that changed your life can change their life. And hear this carefully. If the gospel did not change your life, you are not a Christian. That's what happens. It changes your life. I want to tell you today, it is far easier for us to say those words than to live by them. Amen? It's hard to live by those words. But folks, the gospel is for all. And that person that looks the furthest away from the gospel is by their very life crying out for the gospel. They may have spent their life searching for something, and the reason their life is so erratic and so out of control is they're looking for something. And I want to share with you today this important fact. When they finally come to Christ, if they finally come to Christ, when they finally come to Christ, Christ will take that chaotic life of theirs and use it to do chaotic things for His cause in this world. That person needs the gospel so God can take that person and use them. And the lesson for us today is we are to plant. We're to plant seeds. That's all we're to do. Plant, plant, plant. Go out and plant and water. God takes that seed and God does what He does with the seed. And the Old Testament writer said, and so my word that I sent forth will not return void, but will accomplish that thing for which I sent it. The word will accomplish what God intended for it to accomplish. But there's a third lesson here. A third lesson in the mustard seed. A third secret here. And that is, Dale, my faith, your faith, cannot remain the size of a mustard seed and make an impact. I've got 105,000 mustard seeds. I wonder what would happen if I planted every one of them. I know what will happen if I don't plant them. And for far too many of us, we've never planted this seed. The lesson here is, the simple important lesson for us here is, that our faith has to grow. It's got to grow. And you're responsible for that. The tools are galore out there, but your growth is your responsibility. I actually think that's why a person must be at a maturity level where they're able and ready to understand the saving power of God and the gospel, to believe on their own before they can become a Christian. This is not a lesson on infant baptism, but that's why infant baptism doesn't work. You can't just inherit someone else's faith. It's your faith, and it grows in your life. That a person has to understand what they need to do when they're repenting of their sins. They're going to understand the problems and the pain that sin brings in their life. If you are a baptized believer, your growth, you're at an age where your growth is not the responsibility of any other person. There are people who can help you. There are tools that can equip you. But the growth of your faith is up to you. The blame game just doesn't work. And so many Christians spend their life in the blame game. I was thinking about this week, about spiritual growth and how it happens. And I thought about our new road out here, Duplex Road. Man, I'm proud of that thing. I've been waiting. And our spiritual growth is a lot like Duplex Road. Let me tell you how it happens. First, the first thing that happens is there's a realization. The realization. Long before anything happens, there's a realization. A realization, something's got to change. Some of you have lived here for your lifetime. Not many of you, but some of you are here for a lifetime. Others have been here for 10 or 15 years in our lovely community. But if you've been here more than 5 years, you knew that something had to happen, right? And here's how spiritual growth happens. You know, we most often in our lives, we realize long before we do anything about it, we need to change. There are people that this very evening will sit in bars getting drunk out of their mind, knowing their life is not where it needs to be. And if you walked in, you'd never realize that they know that. They want to change. There are people that are far away from God, and they know their life needs to change. They want their life to change. A realization. It happens long before any construction starts. We realized a long time ago something had to happen on that road. But it's a long time before anything happened. And then there's the second part of it, the preparation. What are we going to do? We're going to build a 6-lane superhighway. What are we going to do? What are we going to do to alleviate this problem here? How are we going to grow spiritually? And for us in our spiritual lives, what path are we going to take? Who are we going to turn to? And so a lot of people spend a lot of their life in that stage. Confucius, Muhammad, some great philosopher. Who do I go after? Who do I follow? What path do I follow? How do I know what God, if there is a God, will expect out of me? And there are a lot of people that spend their lives going through that. And then after that preparation time, there's the pre-work. I mean, the letting of the contracts and getting of the money and the getting of the grants and the architectures and the engineers plotting it all out. And here's the interesting thing. By the time you get to that, stuff's already happening, but you don't know it. You don't know it. You don't see it. It is an extremely frustrating time. I remember, excuse me, Victor, for calling you out on this, but I remember, what was it, 75 years ago when y'all put out the video that showed what the road was going to be like? It seems like it to me anyway. Several years ago when they put out that video, I was so excited. And Melanie can tell you, I'd drive up and down that road when construction started. I'd say, when are they? Get everybody out here and get busy. Jerry can tell you, if we just get out here and get this thing done, it'd get done. And a lot of times that's like our spiritual lives. It looks like nothing at all is happening. A person makes a resolution. I'm going to start studying the Word of God. I'm going to begin to pray. I'm going to start attending services. And they show up once or twice and they say, nothing's happening. They read the Bible a few days, they say, nothing's happening. They pray a couple of times, they say, nothing's happening. Listen, listen, listen. God is at work in that person's life. And if they'll stick with it, it'll come to the front. But it may be a long time before they see it. Stuff is happening, but you don't know it. And then finally, you get to the point we're at now. I mean, that road is done. Isn't it, Victor? Cut the ribbon today. Nobody is happier in this room about that than Victor. I'm the second happiest. I mean, we are ready for that thing to be open completely. It is beautiful, but guess what? The work is not done. Because I was driving down that road, up that road here to the building yesterday, and I noticed from Buckner Lane to here, there's a lot of grass that needs to be mowed. There are weeds growing. And isn't that how it is in our spiritual lives? We get it all together. We come to Christ. We begin to pray and to study, and our life begins to get in line. But have you been there? It gets out of line, doesn't it? If you don't continually nurture, if you don't continually maintain, it won't be long before that which was accomplished will be lost. That is a frustrating time in most of our lives. But then there's one other time in our life. Listen carefully. This is a neat time. That is when we begin to see what God can do with our lives, and we begin to start actively working for His cause, and we begin to dream about what else God can do in our lives. I'm glad this road is done. Let's get busy on 31 now, right? I got an amen out of Victor. Let's get busy on that road. I mean, this road is good, but now I think we can get that road done too. I remember when the new traffic light went up here on Saturn Parkway right there near my house on Port Royal. I thought, man, it took way too long, but now that it's done, I can't wait for us to do the next one. In our spiritual lives, that time comes. It's an exciting time in our life. God, you've done so much in my life. You've helped me so much. Guess what? I want to see what you're going to do next. I want to start doing great things for you. And folks, spiritual growth is a long time coming, but you got to grow. And if you ever stop growing, I don't care your age. It doesn't happen when you turn 13 or 33 or 93. If you're still living, there's still growth to do in your life. And then the fourth lesson. Imagine the impact of 500 or 5 million people with a growing faith. I think about that one tree and how it grew and how large it is on the screen. And here are, believe it or not, here are 500 mustard seeds, okay? There's 500 mustard seeds. You think that's two or three. No, it's 500. Trust me. You can count them if you want to. You don't want to. If you planted 500 of these mustard seeds, and each of them grew into a tree the size of those trees that we saw, think how many birds could lodge in those nests, in those trees. If the faith of 500 people in this church can grow, think of the impact that you and I can have in this community, in this area, in this state, in this country, in this world. Think of the lodging we can provide, the spiritual homes we can provide for people if we will begin to grow our faith. Imagine the impact of 500 mustard seeds. Let's pray together. Father, I'm thankful for the time we've had together today. I pray this lesson will impact our lives. Thank you that you have put in your word these messages that change us, that mold us, that it may even surprise us, but then help us to see clearly what you can do with us. We thank you for Jesus. In his name, amen. Today, if you want our prayers, we will sing a song. You can come forward if you'd like. If you're not comfortable doing that, but you have a prayer request or a need, our shepherds, our elders have name tags on so you can identify them. They'll be at the back as you leave today and just pull them aside and say, I need to talk. If you're watching online and you have a need that we can help you with, you can send that prayer request or that response to that number. Whatever the need is, let's remember to let God do what God can do. He can affect your life. If we can help you, let's stand and sing.